Hello out there, and welcome to IMPACT, the official podcast of Drexel University School of Education's Education Doctorate Program. I'm Dr. Deanna Hill, here with my podcasting partner, Dr. Stephanie Smith-Budai, and we're pleased to have Dr. Mariah Rackley join us today on IMPACT. Dr. Rackley is the Director of Curriculum and Instruction at Cornwall Lebanon School District. We're very excited to have Dr. Rackley as a guest today to learn about the impact that her Drexel EdD has had on her leadership and scholarship. So Dr. Rackley, tell us about what you've been up to professionally since you graduated with your EdD in Educational Leadership and Management from Drexel.
Well, first, thank you both so much for having me today. It's quite the honor to be here with you this afternoon. So my journey since Drexel has been one of kind of constant change. I defended my dissertation in May of 2020 in the middle of a pandemic, and happened to be running a large middle school from my home at the time that I defended my dissertation. So I continued my job as principal at Cedar Crest Middle School until this past school year. And so after 13 years of being the principal, I moved into a new role as Director of Curriculum and Instruction in our school district. And I'm really excited to start a new adventure.
Great. And we hope that the adventure is different now. We hope that you're back in the building. We see you in the building. And we hope that everything that you've done during the pandemic only helped make this year better. So you have been very busy since completing your EdD, as you shared. As you're aware, the Drexel EdD in Educational Leadership and Management is designed to prepare scholarly practitioners to identify and address problems of practice in their own professional context. What made the Drexel EdD appealing to you when you were looking for a doctoral program to enter? And then what were you looking for specifically that made you decide on Drexel?
So I love learning. I love learning. I love being engaged in that learning experience. I've often said that full-time student might be like my dream job one day when I grow up. And so I was really looking for a couple things. I was really looking for a place that was practical, that had lots of good practical application of the learning. So one of the things I loved about Drexel is I didn't feel like there was ever a project or an activity or a book I read that wasn't something I could walk into my practice the next day and use. And so that was an important piece for me. Drexel's reputation and the quality of their programming was also huge. Probably one of the tipping points that I think is probably understated in the Drexel program was the creativity and innovation concentration. That was really exciting for me because I was looking for a university that valued learning as innovative and flexible and changing and understood that it was a process, not something that was stagnant or fixed, not something that you just kind of have put on you. And so I was really looking for some place that was going to challenge my thinking and empower me to do more and think more and push me further than where I was. And then personally, I was also looking for some place that was going to be really flexible. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, my boys were little at the time, and I was a principal. And so there was just so many balls that I was already juggling. I was looking for a program that would fit my schedule and be flexible to provide the learning space that I needed personally as well.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. So tell us a little bit about, you know, I know everyone thinks about the doctoral dissertation. So tell us a little bit about your dissertation research and then how you came to the problem of practice you selected, what you learned about it, and then what would you say has been the most significant impact of that?
So I think for anyone who's never gone through a doctoral program, the dissertation is the most intimidating part. You step back and you think, how could I ever write that much? Or how could I research that much? Or how could I ever learn that much or become an expert at something in the field of education? And one of the things I loved about Drexel is by my second term, so 10 weeks into the program, I was already talking about my dissertation. I was talking about my dissertation. I was thinking about what I was going to research. I was starting to create these things called literature streams, which I really didn't understand at the time. But I felt like it just gave me a leg up on other programs and other doctoral students who, and I just feel like I had almost like a sense of calm about it because there was just, it wasn't as big and scary in the moment because you were starting to chip away at it slowly over time. So when I first started thinking about what I wanted to research, I really was leaning toward this personalized learning piece. And it actually stems from being a middle school principal and watching students who learn differently and think differently. I was a special ed teacher before I was a principal. And then being a mom and watching how my own children learned and grew and thought differently in almost everything they did. And so I really started with personalized learning as my focus. And then what happened was personalized learning has so many diverse definitions and so many different experiences. And so what one person called personalized learning really didn't have a connection to what somebody else called personalized learning. And it was really hard to come up with a stream of thought really about how to even connect all the pieces. And so from personalized learning, I slowly moved toward agency with the help of Dr. Haslip. And so we moved into really focusing one of my literature streams on student agency. And so my problem of practice was looking at teachers' shared lived experiences using student agency as an instructional strategy. And then we've kind of rolled in the personalized learning environments based on the space in which my study was conducted. So I still got to look at the personalized piece, but through maybe a different lens. In terms of the impact of my dissertation, I hate to say life-changing because that seems a little dramatic, but I would definitely tell you I think it was. It changed the way that I really thought about learning, again, as a practitioner, as a researcher, as a principal, as a mom. It really just refocused me and helped me think about learning not as necessarily something that had to come off a piece of paper or had to happen in a textbook. And the opportunity to involve students in the process, which I think is just so paramount to everything we do. How do we involve students in the process? How do we make them part of the learning experience and give them that agency that changes the way they think about learning, that changes the way they're motivated, that helps them to feel like they're part of the process and give them that ownership piece? It really changed the way I thought about learning and leadership, to be honest with you. The way we shared leadership differently at the middle school, the way we did professional learning differently by offering teacher agency. It changed all of those things for me professionally.
So Mariah, I know that that translated in some things that happened at your school and some things that you did with your own students. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So one of the things I probably also need to say is that Dr. Hill should get a lot of credit for not only being my supervising professor, but also forcing me to think about the importance of going through the process and making sure that I didn't necessarily try to shortchange myself or my research by not fulfilling what I really wanted to do and looking specifically at my study, like keeping the lens where we really wanted it to be and keeping the focus where we wanted it to be, even though that wasn't the easiest place for it to be. It was challenging and had some extra hurdles that we had to get through, but it was totally worth it in the end. And in the moment when you are tired and frustrated and so close to the end, and you know you're so close to the end, it would be very easy to just say, you know what, there's a little shortcut here, like let's hang a right-hand turn here. And we didn't, and it was so good that we didn't. But now I'm bird walking. So let me come back and answer your question. In our school, we tried really hard to incorporate student agency in many different facets. So one of the things we did was we changed our professional development model to include a teacher agency piece. We call it Falcon Flex. And so our teachers have the opportunity to choose a portion of their professional learning to be what they want it to be from a fairly large catalog provided by some community agencies, provided by colleagues, which is awesome. Our administrators participate and everyone has the opportunity to submit proposals basically to be in our Falcon Flex catalog. The research tells us that when teachers have agency, they're more likely to give that to their students. And so by giving our teachers agency, our hope was that we would encourage them to provide opportunities like that for our students as well. So in our middle school, we had several different groups and grade levels that I would definitely give shout outs to. Our sixth grade science team did some really cool things doing inner team or inner house activities where students had the opportunity to choose their content or the project they would complete based on their interest, not necessarily based on which team they instructional team they were on. In eighth grade science, our science team did a project that students could choose any topic they wanted that they had not learned about in science in the middle school, as long as it was related to science. And then they spent time researching their project, completing their project, and then reporting out on what they had learned. Our eighth grade social studies folks adopted Genius Hour and basically took on a very similar tact that if they were interested in something in social studies that they hadn't learned yet, they could explore it on their own. And so we had Genius Hour projects happening in our building. We also spent a lot of time in, so one of the other things that was amazing in our school was we created a creativity lab for our eighth grade students. And our eighth grade creativity lab had the opportunity to have students explore passionate pursuit projects where they were able to take their interests and apply them to their learning. And they were able to venture out into whether it was a career type interest or a personal hobby type interest. They were able to explore that and then model their work and demonstrate what they learned to their student, to their colleagues, their peers, and our staff, which was awesome. Right before I left, we had also created a fab lab or a fabrication lab that we were really excited about that included our tech ed, industrial arts careers and art classes in seventh grade. And so they were starting to venture into this space of student agency and giving students choice in the projects they chose so that not every student had to complete the same project in industrial arts. They had the opportunity to explore things a little differently. So that was a really exciting project that we did. And then the last thing I would probably highlight is we had a community outreach program that we had started maybe 7 or 8 years ago now that was called Falcons Care. And through Falcons Care, we were connecting teachers and students with similar interests in community outreach projects and giving them the opportunity to connect with each other and then do something for our community, for the betterment of our community. And so that was another really cool project that we started at our school.
Wow, that was a lot of impact. And we're so glad to hear all of the ways that you've used your leadership and exercised it to influence not only what teachers are doing, but ultimately students, because that's what it's all about, right? We're just here as a catalyst to help spark their creativity and interest and grow and develop. You had mentioned working with community agencies in your last response for some of the different programs, and you know that the EDD program also focuses on community engagement and understanding the needs of those who we serve. So in fact, we've just revised our EDD keystones, we're very proud of that, to make our commitment more explicit and visible. How has your experiences as a Drexel EDD student and or your dissertation research impacted your ability to exercise this leadership in serving your community?
Yeah, I think that it's so important for us to have partnerships with those people who we serve. That's our job, right? Our job is to serve our students and our families. And so we can only do that if we really have a good understanding of who they are, what their life experiences are, what they know and what they understand, what their background is. And so I think it's so important that not only that we reach out to our families and have those meaningful and important conversations, but also that we are making sure that we're educating the students in our schools to understand the community in which they live and how to contribute to that community. Because we don't live in isolation, we don't live in bubbles. And so we have to know how to engage our community and be contributing members to our community. So we spent a lot of time trying to build awareness about our students, their experiences, So we can know who we serve better. Because we also know that when we are able to know our students and build those relationships with our students and their families, that it gives us a space that we can provide that agency and we can make learning meaningful and relevant, not only for our students, but for our families as well. And we also know that as we get more engaged, as we take on more ownership and more responsibility, we're more motivated to participate in that process. And again, I believe so strongly that education is a process, and it's not something that any one of us can do by ourselves in our bubble following the straight line. There's twists and turns and curves, and our interests change, or our abilities change, or things we like or don't like. Those things change, and we have to be able to follow the road and follow the twists and turns, because if we don't, we can get lost on the path very easily and become disengaged. And so we want to do the opposite of those things and just try everything we can to bring our community in and find that, find those barriers to learning, find those things that are getting in our way, find those things that are stopping what we're trying to do, and fix them, whether it's through professional learning opportunities, whether it's improving our communication with our families and making sure that everything's going home in home languages, whether it is looking at college and career readiness differently, or really even just talking about how we can make sure that in our district, all of our buildings have the same learning experiences for all the students in all the buildings, and just making sure that we're creating that space. Like, one of the things I really believe as an educator is that it's our job to make space. So I always tell people, like, it's my job to see the system. It's my job to understand those barriers. It's my job to see the obstacles coming. And then it's my job to make the space happen. So if I can make the space, I feel like our teachers and our students, they can do the magic, right? They can do all the cool things that they need to do to be learners and be engaged. But it's my job as an administrator, it's my job as a leader to take away those barriers, see them coming, and then just make the space and just say, listen, I've got you. You do your thing. Like, let me take care of all of these distractors. And so I think that's where just being part of our community, understanding how our community works, understanding how we can serve and meet everybody's needs is just so critical to what we do.
It's fabulous. So thinking back in terms of where you are in your role, you've had a very successful career, and congratulations again on your new role as a director of curriculum and instruction. But what would you say has been the greatest impact on the EDD on your career thus far?
You know, that's an interesting and almost a hard question to answer, I think, to some degree. But I think the short version would be that the Drexel program gave me confidence. It gave me a confidence that I could do harder things than I thought, maybe, that you could get to the end of the road, that you could take risks. Taking risks is such a hard thing. And I preach about it all the time. I talk about, you know, I always encourage our staff to take risks. I encourage people to, you know, I say, listen, we have a safe space. Like, let's take some risks and try new things. And I think that Drexel really helped me see the importance of taking risks and understanding that that when things don't work out the way you planned, it doesn't mean that it was a failure. That it just is a different way to do things. And there are different ways and different paths. But I definitely think Drexel helped me to think about things differently, to think about shared leadership differently in a way that we can build capacity, empower others, create ownership, involve more voices, provide that agency piece, build relationships. And I think that Drexel was almost like it was almost like the glue that helped me take all the puzzle pieces that I had that I was playing with and put them all together and go, oh yeah, this is how it fits. Now let's glue the puzzle together and you know, hang it up on the wall because it's a nice picture. Like, I think it gave me that, it was like that missing piece that I needed to just take all of the components in my brain and in my mind and in my leadership philosophy and put them all together.
All right. So Dr. Rankley, you have already accomplished so much, but we believe that the completion of an EdD is the beginning of your journey of impacting through your leadership. So you did just start this position as Director of Curriculum Instruction, but what's next after that? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And what additional impact would you like to have on society?
So this is a question I've never, ever been good at. Like when I was interviewing for teaching positions 20 years ago, this was like the question and I've never felt like I was good at answering it. But I think for me, I see myself serving our students and our families. I've been here for 22 years and this is my home. It is where I've chosen to raise my family. It's where I live. And I think that just continuing to serve our community in this new role, I love this new role. If I could have written like my dream job description, this was about as close as I probably could have come to it. And I say that because I love curriculum. I love learning. I love teaching and thinking and thinking about how we learn. And so I'm so excited to work with our families, our staff, our students, and create something just really amazing for our students to have that experience, to have those opportunities that are out there, and really just kind of pull everything together in a system to map things out. I think when I was always asked that question, like, why do you want to be a teacher? And again, I always felt like I kind of gave that like cliche response, like, I want to do it because I think I can make a difference. And I don't think my answer has changed in all the years people have asked me that question. But I think that the opportunity to create these authentic learning experiences for students, the opportunity to give them a voice and a choice and ownership in the process to help them to feel empowered as a learner, to not just say, oh yeah, be a learner, go to school, do your thing, and come home, but really to make them want to learn, to make them want to do better, to make them want to think about learning so differently. I think about learning so differently now than I did as a new teacher 22 years ago. I think about learning as thinking and problem solving and solution finding. I think we need to talk more about those things. And think about how we make our learners part of the process so that they're engaged with us and they're not checking out. They're not just checking the boxes. They're not disengaged. They're really there with us going, oh, wait, I have an idea. Because I think we get some of our best ideas when we put real world situations and real world problems in front of our students and say, hey, like, what do you think? What do you think about this? Like, if it were you, what would you do? And I love the ideas they come up with. I think we find some of our best ideas when we let our students take that ownership and just start to drive away with it, because I think they engage in a way that we never would have expected and we probably should have. And I love that they rise to the occasion all the time. And so I'm excited to watch what happens. I'm excited to see how we build this culture of learning that's really about embracing our learners as individuals and loving their strengths and loving their talents and helping them find their niche in the world.
Wow, talk about impact and creativity and innovation, engagement. That's wonderful. Well, so again, thank you for sharing the impact that the EdD has had on your professional practice, on your career, et cetera, Dr. Rackley. So now we just want to turn to a few lighter questions. So here's the first one. If you could choose only one, what superpower would you want?
So I'm going to say my staff has always told me that my superpower was kindness. And I feel like that's a really important superpower in the world we live in today. And so I think I would stick with that one probably and just say that I think it's so important to be kind. Before my husband leaves every morning, he tells our boys to be the kind ones. And I just think that cultivating kindness and loving people and loving our community and serving others is such an important thing to do. So I think I would stick with kindness.
Great. That's an excellent superpower and one many people would love to be able to possess in that way. Now, this may not be easy to respond to on the spot, but how would you describe your perfect day?
That's hard. So my perfect day would probably involve fall. I love the autumn, so probably something in the fall. It would probably involve probably a hoodie and jeans, which would be fun. And it would probably involve something with my husband and my boys. So maybe apple picking, maybe a trip to Hershey Park, maybe, I don't know, maybe a movie day with hot chocolate on the couch and some popcorn. But I love the gift of time. And I think that so often we're running and rushing and not conscious of time, that it's hard. And so I think any moment that I can steal, any moment that I can grab a few minutes extra with my boys and my husband, like, I think that would be like the perfect day. And if you threw in like shopping or a Hallmark movie and some chocolate, I mean, we would definitely be winning. So yeah, I think I love time, and I love to think of time as just a gift, not something I have to rush through and get through. And I think the world we live in, like, we rush a lot. I always feel like I'm rushing here, rushing there, I'm late for this meeting, I'm trying to get to that next thing or get my kids to that next thing. And so I think my perfect day would just be the gift of time.
That's beautiful. Kindness and time. Last question for you. So what's been the best live performance, concert, play, et cetera, that you've seen?
That's hard. Do I have to pick just one?
Just one. It doesn't have to be the best, but one of the best is one of the best.
So I'll give you a couple. So I saw Wicked on Broadway as a Christmas gift from my husband. That was tremendous. I saw Garth Brooks perform at the Bryce Jordan Center at State College. That was super fun. And I've seen Tim McGraw and Faith Hill perform together twice. So those would probably be my top three. But I would also throw in there that there is nothing better than watching your kids perform in a concert at their school. Which it's one of those things that I think I've always waited for and finally got to do last year for the first time. And there's something very magical about that moment as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it has been a pleasure to have EDD alumnus, Dr. Mariah Rackley on Impact Today. Thank you, Dr. Rackley, for sharing with us. We are always incredibly honored and excited to hear the amazing ways our EDD alums are having an impact in the world. Dr. Rackley's bio will be posted with the link to this episode on our EDD program website. Thank you again, Dr. Rackley.
Thank you both so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to Impact. We look forward to the next episode where we hear from other alums about the impact that earning a Drexel EDD has had on their professional practice, research, policy changes in the larger society. Goodbye for now.